Welcome to another episode of Forced Chatter. I'm Eric, and I'm here tonight with Lou and Tim, and we are going to talk some Star Wars because we finally have some Star Wars news for once. And I don't know, though. It's some people are having some mixed opinions on it. We're going to get to that in a moment, though. Lou, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Looking forward to it. We haven't done this in a couple weeks.
I know. Yeah, we haven't recorded in a couple of weeks. And I mean, there hasn't been Star Wars news in most weeks recently. So I keep hoping that as this next Disney investors call starts to get closer and closer, maybe some things will leak. Maybe we'll get some information out of that that will hold us over for a while. Actually, there were some leaks about the Kenobi series, but probably shouldn't talk too much about them. Especially since the biggest leak, and I'm convinced it's real, comes from a particular website that Tim is not a fan of. Tim, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, so long as you don't mention ridiculous websites.
It's not a ridiculous website. It's just one you don't like very much.
Yeah.
But who I believe has solid info on it. The Kenobi series, I'm on board with now. Of course, not much of it seems to take place on Tatooine, so that's probably the main reason that I was not on board going into it. So, but we did have a recent Star Wars release on Disney Plus, and that was the Lego Star Wars Terrifying Tales, a special just in time for Halloween, and everybody seems to love it, except me. I merely like it. So I'm going to let you two give your thoughts on it. My thoughts basically were that it was, I think it, in our episode of Random Chatter, where we were reviewing things, episode 360, I said it was perfectly fine. And that's my take. But I know you guys really liked it, so I want to hear your take on it. Tell us about the Star Wars Terrifying Tales.
Luke, go ahead.
So it just came out last week sometime, I think it was.
Yep. And I think Wednesday.
Maybe it was Wednesday. I was like, oh, I forgot this came out. Let me watch this tonight. So I sat down on the couch, popped some corn, and thoroughly enjoyed myself. I thought it was funny. I thought it was well done. I mean, most Lego animated stuff is well produced, so it had me there to begin with. But I thought the comedy aspect of it was awesome, even though it's a Halloween themed thing, but it was mm-hmm. good. I really enjoyed all the aspects of it. I loved the new Hutt character. I loved the fact that we were doing, a resort now on
Mustafar,
which I thought was awesome. You know?
Yeah. I mean, the setting was perfect for kind of a Halloween themed episode, right? I mean, you got to at least mm-hmm. appreciate that. And the humor was good. And for kind of what would you call it? I mean, kind of like the Treehouse of Horror things from Simpsons, where you've got the three individual storylines. But in this case, they all tied together. And I did appreciate the fact that they tied together. So by the end of the episode, I liked it a lot better than I did kind of as it was going along, I guess.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I love all these Lego animated things. I think they just do such a great job with them. I love the animation. I love the storytelling. I love what they do with the characters. They make it a lot of fun. I like it. I will say kind of my one negative comment about this is that they seem to periodically lose the Halloween-ness of it. Like it would start off with something that was kind of like, you know, quote horror, Halloween-y, costumey, whatever. And then like 3 minutes later, they would seem to lose that. And like they were still telling the story and the story was fine, but it no longer felt like a Halloween thing. And then it would hit another beat where, hey, you know, quote again, Halloween oriented thing. and then a minute later back down to just kind of telling a story. So that was just a, I think, you know, Halloween episode is a, you know, kind of a loose term to be used. Mm. What I did love about it is that I want the story they have in there to be the canonical foundation for the Knights of Ren.
I don't know what you smoked before you watched it, but the rest of us.
I'm not even kidding.
I know you're not kidding.
Aside, obviously, from like the comedy stuff, the Lego-y comedy stuff that they put in there, the fundamental, the mechanics of the story, I am absolutely 100% in on that.
You know, the worst part.
Give it to me.
You mean like the whole Lost Boys thing?
I was about to say, the worst part is that anybody, yeah, not from our generation, all of those Lost Boys references are going to be completely lost. No pun intended. That's so sad. I don't know. I think I liked that one the least of the stories.
Mm. Okay. That's fine.
It seemed very teen angsty.
You can feel that way.
And very...
What in the world do you think that actual, like, canonical story would be?
Written...
Teenage Kylo Ren has got to be worse than teenage Anakin and teenage Luke combined.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, seriously, it will be the most teenage angsty of all the teenage angstiest things that have ever been out there.
I don't think we need them hanging from the underside of a bridge and with the, what was it that was playing the saxophone? I don't even remember which alien it was now, but I get it. It was kind of tongue in cheek and humorous and stuff, but I don't know. The whole Ren thing and the meaning behind the word Kylo and something. Oh my gosh.
Well,
just make it stop.
The meaning behind the word Kylo, that was I didn't find it. But like I said, the foundational thing there I really, really liked.
Okay.
But it was fine for a Halloween special, but it just wasn't Halloween-y enough for me.
Yeah, I'll say that too. It didn't really, to me, feel like it was darker in theme than a lot of Star Wars stuff looks. You got Mustafar and you've got some weird Sith guy in the background and then kind of this monstrous thing at the end. Like, it was as close as I could expect out of a Star Wars thing. It's kind of like Life Day is not really that Christmassy. If you look at the original Christmas special,
no, it's not.
It's almost like a bad drug trip.
Well, it's hard to do a Halloween special in Star Wars when there is no Halloween in Star Wars.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, but you had the book that I never read about the Death Troopers or whatever it was.
Oh, the two zombie books, they were fantastic.
Mm.
Those were total, like, I would love to see some kind of a, you know, make it a what if concept type of thing. Those are absolute, because those books were actually written by authors who have backgrounds writing horror.
Oh.
And that's fundamentally what they were getting at. So, oh yeah.
I've still never read them.
Very Halloween-y.
We need that. Yes. Here's what they need to get the animators from Marvel's What If,
mm-hmm,
and have them do those books.
I want to see it
as a Disney Plus series.
I'd like to see a What If Star Wars series. I mean, I really would. Talk about being able to play in a sandbox that doesn't have any consequences. That's awesome.
If they took it seriously, I would be okay with them taking the Infinities. So here's the weird thing about that. Marvel and DC both already have this concept of multiple universes, alternate realities, all that kind of stuff. Star Wars isn't really that sort of a thing. But the Infinities comics were really good. I would like to see a take where, you know, what if Luke didn't blow up the Death Star, or what if Luke had died on Hoth, I think, and Han went to find Yoda instead. What if Leia joined Vader, I think was the Return of the Jedi one.
Yeah.
but make like a
Which
season.
Which are fun stories to think about.
Yeah, yeah, but they weren't these little 20-minute episode things really with the comic books. Like, you could stretch that out into 5 episodes easy. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see a series where they do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the zombie stormtrooper thing too. Yeah. All right. So Terrifying Tales, I guess we would recommend it. You guys really liked it. I thought it was okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I liked it.
There you go. There's our review of that. We've got some new book announcements. Before we get to that, we have a release date for the Book of Boba Fett and a poster. Poster looks
which
awesome.
Is the Book of Boba Fett, and maybe it will be a book, but we're not talking about a book. We're talking about the Disney Plus series.
We're talking about the non-book, the Book of Boba Fett.
Yes.
Wow. Talk about confusing.
I know, right? So December 29th, which, by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. MCU expert, isn't that the same day as the finale of Hawkeye?
I believe that is accurate.
I don't want to put you on the spot because you might not have done the math for it, but I've seen other people online who claim to have, and they're a little confused by this release date. I mean, a lot of people will be off for the holiday break, so I guess that's convenient, but I think originally they were saying like December 20th or something. So this seems a little later than we were expecting. And it would be weird to release it on the date of the finale of an MCU project. You'd probably want to space them out by a week.
You would think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. What it's going to come down to, though, and I think we did even have a little bit of overlap of this. With Bad Batch, you're going to have enough Star Wars stuff coming out and enough MCU stuff coming out in terms of frequency, multiple things per year for both. And while kind of early on in this first, you know, couple years of Disney Plus, they've been able to stagger things. So there's kind of always something hot going, and then you get a week or two break, and then the next thing comes up, whatever. Eventually it's, you know, these things are going to be coming out the same week.
That's fair, but we're not there yet.
It is. And I also still kind of have to go with Lizzie's idea because she's brilliant. They're missing the opportunity for Marvel Mondays.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Release your MCU show on Monday. You know, the alliterations, people freaking love those things. It's a marketing thing. It works. And that's it. And then, you know, if they want to then have their Star Wars stuff on Wednesday, and then their like new movies and features come out on Fridays. So yeah.
Makes sense to me. And what better way to start the week off? I mean, Mondays kind of suck anyway, but you get new Marvel content. I mean, that's kind of a pick me up, right?
That then has everyone looking forward to Mondays.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
Except Luke, cause he doesn't care. Cause his Monday was Sunday. And
that's true.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Monday's really a Tuesday, and a Tuesday is just like such a like weird blah day. Like
Tuesday's hump day.
Not for the rest of the world.
You know, studies have shown that Monday is not the most depressing work day of the week. Tuesday is.
Really?
Tuesday is the day that people actually are in the worst moods as far as like work goes. Yeah. Because you show up Monday and you're still kind of like coming off your weekend and everybody's still kind of just like getting back in the swing of things. Tuesday is when like work is expected to actually be done when you show up in the morning, and yet you still have the vast majority of the week ahead of you. You know, people aren't sitting around the water cooler talking about their weekends anymore. Like, no, you got to actually get the work done. So. But you get Taco Tuesdays. Marvel Mondays, Taco Tuesdays, WandaVision Wednesdays, if they ever bring that. I don't know.
No, it would be Star Wars Wednesdays.
Okay, yeah, because there's a W.
But you get a quasi-alliteration.
Quasi-alliteration. Okay, that works.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk books.
Yeah.
We have 4 new books. The big one, there are 2 big ones, and then there is a mid-age book and a young adult book. So we'll talk about the two big ones first. Shadow of the Sith takes place after Return of the Jedi. I'm going to go to StarWars.com here, and they have a summary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read this here. The Empire is dead. Nearly two decades on from the Battle of Endor, the tattered remnants of Palpatine's forces have fled to the farthest reaches of the galaxy. Before the heroes of the New Republic, danger and loss are ever-present companions, even in this newly forged era of peace. Jedi Master Luke...
Wait for it.
Huh?
Oh, no, sorry. That's the next paragraph.
Yeah.
I was off. My excitement was taking a hold of me. I'm sorry.
I understand. Jedi Master Luke Skywalker is haunted by visions of the dark side, foretelling an ominous secret growing somewhere in the depths of space on a dead world called Exegol.
This sounds very Halloween-y also. It does. But it's not coming out anywhere near Halloween.
You know, half of The Rise of Skywalker was kind of Halloween-y.
True.
Or just weenie in some people's... Nice. The disturbance in the Force is undeniable, and Luke's worst fears confirmed when his old friend Lando Calrissian comes to him with reports of a new Sith menace. After his daughter was stolen...
Is it a phantom menace?
Yes.
Ha
ha. After his daughter was stolen from his arms, Lando searched the stars for any trace of his lost child, but every new rumor only led to dead ends and fading hopes until...
Lando has a daughter.
You want to read this?
You didn't pause appropriately.
No, because I'm reading it so we can go back and talk about it. Listen, we all know Lando has a daughter because they were so heavy-handed about it in episode 9. Does he have a daughter? Could this be his daughter? And you know, because, hey, when you only have three African-American characters in a trilogy, some have to be related, and the ones that aren't have to be dating one of the ones that are related, or at least be a love interest for... Yeah, so, I mean, the implications there were pretty obvious. I think everybody assumed that that was supposed to be Lando's daughter, especially, like, the moment that they had there at the end. So, honestly, like, this aspect of this... It feels like they're trying to fix episode 9 by giving the information that they should have already given during the movie, and they should have at least already given it in book form by now and never did, and now they're finally catching up with that now that it's too late. But
I'm glad we're getting it.
I'm looking forward to the book, and I'm sure I'm going to enjoy the book, but I don't care, I guess, about trying to link it to stuff in episode 9. There's a little bit more here. Let me go on. After his daughter was stolen from his arms, Lando searched the stars for any trace of his lost child, but every new rumor only led to dead ends and fading hopes until he crossed paths with, I don't know how the correct way to pronounce this. We'll have to get with Mark Thompson on that, but
Ochi.
Well,
I would say Ochi.
Of Bestoon, a Sith assassin tasked with kidnapping a young girl. Ochi's true...
We have a Sith assassin after Return of the Jedi. Very happy about this. Sorry, Eric, go ahead.
It's okay. If I take a baseball bat and hit him, I'm actually hitting my monitor, which doesn't hurt him. It only hurts me. And right. He knows this.
Right.
Punk. Okay. Ochi's true motives remain shrouded to Luke and Lando. As you said, a phantom menace. For on a junkyard moon, a mysterious envoy of the Sith Eternal has bequeathed a sacred blade to the assassin, promising that it will give him answers to the questions that have haunted him since the Empire fell. In exchange, he must complete a final mission, return to Exegol with the key to the Sith's glorious rebirth, the granddaughter of Darth Sidious himself, Rey. As Ochi hunts Rey and her parents to the edge of the galaxy, Luke and Lando race into the mystery of the Sith's lingering shadow and aid a young family running for their lives. So this blade, the absolute worst thing in any Star Wars film, all 11 films, and I am including Jedi Rocks in this, by the way, okay? The only part I ever fast forward through in a Star Wars film, Return of the Jedi, the worst thing was that stupid blade in episode 9. It made no sense. It was stupid. You need a blade to triangulate this thing that you can see and is already right in front of you. Like, you're already there. You're already on the right planet. You're already on the right continent. You're already on the right shoreline. And you, like, it doesn't do anything for you unless you're already kind of there in the right space. And then it just says, oh yeah, that one. And that's it. Like, it doesn't even open a secret door Indiana Jones style or anything. It's just like, it is the stupidest thing. And what if the weather or something broke a piece of this Death Star back into the ocean and it no longer lines up in one of those holes on that blade anymore because, you know, erosion and climate change and whatever else. And then it doesn't tell you anything.
And you had to stand in exactly, precisely the right spot.
3 feet to the left?
Hold your arm up at the right angle and the right height to, yeah.
And what if you were holding it like
that close
this way? Our audio listeners can't see me, but what if you were holding it with the other hand and upside down?
Then you would say, I'm in the wrong place.
Yeah, all good points.
I'm clearly in the wrong place.
Could rant for hours on that. Anyway, so apparently this book is, I assume that's the blade that they're talking about, the sacred blade bequeathed to the assassin that will give him answers to questions that have haunted him since the Empire fell. I mean, come on. That's what we got in episode 9, and it was crap.
Well, it's basically going to, like, if it is that knife, is that just going to bring him to the same place? And he walks in and sees, oh, look, the Emperor's throne. I can sit here and pretend to be the Emperor and, you know, post it on Instagram or something.
The more I read the description for this story, the less interested I got in it. Because they keep, oh, and there's also the blade. Oh, and guess what? The whole thing about Rey's parents, Luke and Lando are going to have involvement in that too. And it's like, oh my gosh, no.
Maybe,
We don't have to have everything connected. Just like, let it go. That's a totally different character, totally different family, totally different thing going on, totally different assassin. We don't have to have that tied to Luke. We really don't.
Maybe the blade is a lightsaber and it's a darksaber.
Maybe it's a lightsaber. Okay, sure. Maybe it's a darksaber. No, nope. I'm right back there to it being broken again. Doesn't fit. Yeah. Doesn't make sense. You don't force things into a story that don't serve the story.
Well, you do when you kind of mess it up in the beginning and you're trying to work your way out of it. But I know what you're saying.
But we've already
what's the next book?
Already had the funeral for that one, Lou. You don't go back and try to raise the dead. No, I'm not saying you. I'm saying Lucasfilm.
Wait. It's Halloween.
It won't be when the books come out.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be down on the book. I hope it's good. And I'm sure it will be good. It's called Shadow of the Sith. The release date is June 28th of next year. And honestly, I'm sure the book is going to be just fine. I don't have any interest in tying up connections with episode 9. I'd almost rather just what's going on in the galaxy back when this actually happens after Return of the Jedi. Like, let's look at that time period. I don't need to be planting seeds for the least interesting of all of the Star Wars movies in hopes that it makes that movie better. Cause I'm sorry. I love Star Wars and I'm as forgiving as I can be with episode 9. I really am, but nothing is going to make that movie any more enjoyable than it already is. You can write all the books you want.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right, next book.
All right, next book. Brotherhood by Mike Chen. I'm not a big Clone Wars guy, but I'm actually looking forward to this book. This one sounds a little interesting. Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker must stem the tide of the raging Clone Wars and forge a new bond as Jedi Knights. That's pretty vague. But here's the description. The Clone Wars have begun. Battle lines are being drawn throughout the galaxy. With every world that joins the Separatists, the peace guarded by the Jedi Order is slipping through their fingers. After an explosion devastates Cato Neimoidia, the jewel of the Trade Federation, the Republic is blamed and the fragile neutrality of the planet is threatened. The Jedi dispatch Obi-Wan Kenobi, one of the Order's most gifted diplomatic minds, to investigate the crime and to maintain the balance that has begun to dangerously shift. As Obi-Wan investigates with the help of a heroic Neimoidian guard, he finds himself working against the Separatists who hope to draw the planet into their conspiracy and senses the sinister hand of Asajj Ventress in the mists that cloak the planet. Amid the brewing chaos, Anakin Skywalker rises to the rank of Jedi Knight. Despite the mandate that Obi-Wan travel alone and his former master's insistence that he listen this time, Anakin's headstrong determination means nothing can stop him from crashing the party and bringing along a promising but conflicted youngling. Once a Padawan to Obi-Wan, Anakin now finds himself on equal but uncertain footing with the man who raised him. The lingering friction between them increases the danger for everyone around them. The two knights must learn a new way to work together, and they must learn quickly to save Cato Neimoidia and its people from the fires of war. To overcome the threat they must face, they must grow beyond master and apprentice. They must stand together as brothers. Okay.
You know, it's Clone Wars era. I think it could be interesting. I like Obi-Wan in that time period. Simply never was a fan of Anakin there, but it's fine. An Asajj Ventress tie-in. I like Asajj. I think it could be a good story.
I think it could too.
I'm down with it.
Yeah,
I'm okay with this.
And I like Anakin from that time period. For the most part, and I love Obi-Wan, especially from that time period. So
yes,
yeah. So I'm looking forward to that one. And they didn't try to tie in anything from Episode 9 because they didn't need to. They could have, but they didn't. All right, next up, Star Wars stories.
Mediocre Modeler, by the way, is down with Obi-Wan and Ventress in the same story.
Yeah, I think that could be interesting.
Yeah. Now, is there going to be a romance aspect to that?
I don't know.
Yeah, between, you know.
Is that something just you saying. Would want to see, Lou?
No, I'm just asking.
Okay.
For a friend.
I hope not. Maybe they could make it a rom-com. Throw some porgs and Ewoks too.
Like Tim said, I like this era. I like, you know, Kenobi and Anakin in that time frame. I'd like to know more about that. I like stories in that era. So, yeah, I'm into this one.
So I'm trying to figure out the timing of this and whether or not we might see Ahsoka.
Oh, and this one, by the way, is written by Mike Chen. And I believe Mike Chen was one of the people who we interviewed from the Empire Strikes Back, from a certain point of view book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because he wrote the story Disturbance that was in there. And I liked him in the interview. I remember really liking the story.
That was a good one.
Of Disturbance. And that was the first Star Wars thing that he had ever done. So, and I liked it a lot. So that has me looking forward even more so to this story.
Yeah, I forgot he had written that. That was a good one. And I think the way the one paragraph is worded indicates that maybe Ahsoka is going to be in it. Anakin crashing the party and bringing a Padawan with him. So
maybe, but also through Clone Wars, like he once in a while, like took on a transient Padawan like for an episode or something. So, at the time there were so many of them and, you know, a master decides they're going to go on vacation to Hawaii. They don't want to take the kids with them. So here they give a Padawan to a Padawan sitter.
Uh-huh.
Padawan sitter. So what the next book we have
there's a market
is,
for that. I could start a Padawan sitting service.
You could, yeah.
You could.
As long as you walk them twice a day, you know, should be fine. All right. Yeah, you want to take the next one?
Sure, why not? It's Stories of the Jedi and Sith. This is an anthology collection. They're rating this as a mid-age book. 10 different authors. Jen Heddle is going to be the editor of this. So this is an anthology. We're going to get a bunch of different stories and characters. And they include here in the description characters including Luke, Darth Vader, Obi-Wan, Asajj, more Obi-Wan and Asajj. And beyond, complete with beautiful spot illustrations. That's cool. We don't get a lot of illustrations in our books. In fact, I mean, granted, it is a mid-grade or mid-age book. But I don't know that even anything at that level we've seen illustrations in.
Yeah, not really.
Could be wrong. Cunning plots, courageous action, and ruthless anger are all here in the showcase of the enduring power of one of the greatest movie sagas of all time. Among the list of authors is Delilah Dawson, who has done some Star Wars stuff before. And I think a couple of these others look familiar. Roseanne Brown, Sarwat Chadha. Actually, I think Sarwat Chadha also did a story in The Empire Strikes Back from a certain point of view. Tessa Grattan, Michael Kogue, we'll go with that. Sam Maggs, Michael Morici, Alex Segura, Vera Strange, Karen Strong, and the illustrations are by Jake Bartok. That's coming out June 7th. And all these books, by the way, are available for pre-order now.
So I didn't mention the date for Brotherhood. That's actually going to be the first one released. That's May 10th. And then we've got, you said June 7th for that one? And then we've got June 28th
yes.
for Shadow of the Sith. And then the last one called Padawan
July 26th.
Is going to be July 26th.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Lou, you want to read one or no?
Sure. So Padawan, let's see here. Let me get the right link up here.
This one is by Kirsten White.
Yeah, Kirsten White. This is a young adult novel.
Does not sound familiar to me.
I probably have to look it up. Stuff.
That's okay.
Let's see. This one here says, Obi-Wan struggles with his place in the Force's young Padawan in this coming-of-age adventure. Obi-Wan Kenobi really wants to be a good Padawan, the best Padawan ever. But that's feeling more and more impossible with his new master, Qui-Gon Jinn. All of Obi-Wan's friends are off training to be real Jedi, getting mission experience while he's on Coruscant, practicing his forms and sitting silent contemplation. Ever since Qui-Gon's former master, Dooku, left the Order, it feels like Qui-Gon has been too busy trying to connect with the Force or arguing with Jedi Council members. Properly trained as Padawan. So this is going to be the, you know, coming of age novel of Qui-Gon, you know, how he started as a Padawan, where he's going to. I'm looking forward to this one. Even though it's a young adult novel, I find some of the young adult novels are the better written stuff out there, I think, actually.
A lot of them are. Like, they're really good stuff.
Well done. So, I'm just happy to see more Qui-Gon.
Yeah. I mean, you know, who doesn't like Qui-Gon, right? Other than the fact that he spoiled the fact that he wasn't in any movies after the first one, when he said he was never doing any more Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, well,
you know who probably doesn't like Qui-Gon? Mike.
Why?
I'm betting Mike doesn't like Qui-Gon.
Why do you say that?
Mike? What?
Why wouldn't Mike like Qui-Gon?
Because I can conveniently blame anything in this network on Mike.
Well.
with reasonable accuracy.
Yeah, but he's not... He's taking a prearranged hiatus. It's not like, oh, he didn't make it to the show tonight. Like, that's not one of those automatic network rules there. Like, when, you know, Lou doesn't show up and everything's Lou's fault. Like, this is different.
Oh, no.
I mean, Tim
it has nothing to do with his absence. Yeah. I mean, for the last X number of years I've blamed things
well,
on
that's
Mike
true.
On a regular basis.
Listen, I think even Mike likes Qui-Gon. Everybody likes Qui-Gon. And it was
like might not.
What spoiled it for me was that stupid soundtrack that came out before the movie, and on the back, one of the tracks was titled Qui-Gon's Funeral. I'm like, well, psh, brilliant.
Wait, he dies?
Spoiler.
Oops.
Oops.
Damn.
Sorry.
Hey, he has a certain set of skills. Let the man do his thing.
Yeah. That's true.
All right. Well, let's move along. We have some Hasbro announcements, but I don't know how much it matters because
this isn't really news. They're not going to release anything.
We're not going to get any of it. I'm starting to think that's what happens. Like they design some prototypes, they put them in the boxes, they take pictures, they put the pictures on various different websites, and then nothing actually ever gets released because I don't know anybody who has most of these things. I've never seen them in stores.
The thing I don't get is if you're going to do like, you know, they announced some stuff coming up. These are, you know, upcoming Black Series, upcoming Vintage Series stuff. You would think if you have an upcoming release, you'd have it on the website, like pre-order or coming soon. There's no, stuff that, even the website is like.
And Lou, Lou, why don't you talk about their pre-order program?
Oh, my gosh.
I hear it's pretty good.
They do a pre-order program, so you can stuff you can't find in the stores, you can pre-order it, so it just gets delivered to your door. Like, perfect, right? This is awesome. I can't find
awesome.
It in stores. My stores near me, like, you know, the Star Wars section in the Walmart, the two Walmarts in Target near me, it's like pegs.
I don't think you can call it that anymore, Lou.
They still have the thing up at the
top. Yeah, because they haven't bothered to take it down.
It's
like when you get those abandoned stores and the signs stay out front for like 15 years.
So yeah, no, the pre-order thing is awesome. It lets you go online, pre-order the stuff, pay for it. It doesn't get billed to your card until it actually ships, which is even better. But
is there a punchline?
Somebody needs to tell them how to do a pre-order the correct way. I mean,
everything that you said was correct, right?
Except
like,
wasn't
it awesome?
That,
like best practices.
That, like, right now, I'm looking on the Hasbro.
Except
site,
the fact that it's easier to like. Buy Billie Eilish concert tickets? Like, if you're not in the first 15 seconds, you're not getting one?
So, like, on the website right now, they have a pre-order for the Black Series George Lucas and Stormtrooper Disguise.
Oh, good. I wanted
pre-order.
That one.
Awesome. It's sold out.
So why do they have it there?
Wait. Here's the funny thing.
There's a pre-order for a Republic Trooper, Old Republic, from the Vintage Gaming Collection.
Okay.
Pre-order. Sold out.
All listeners, by the way,
501st Legion.
You had to open this can of worms, didn't you, Tim?
All listeners, by the way, can completely blame me for this because this gets Lou riled up.
All emails can be sent to Tim at randomchatter.com.
This gets Lou so riled up.
Oh, did you find a good one, Lou?
Just go on this rant.
Darth Revan. This looks awesome.
Wow, you can pre-order that one?
Sold out. How do you sell out a pre-order?
The point of a pre-order is supposed to be so you know how many to manufacture. It is supposed to be a benefit to you so that the balance between supply and demand is more level, because that is ideal. If you have too much supply, you made too many and you lost that production cost. And if you have too little, there was more money for you to make.
Yeah, opportunity on the
right
table,
so this is supposed to be perfect for manufacturers, and I don't understand why Hasbro seems to be the only company in the world who doesn't understand that you pre-order and then you make as many as you got for the pre-orders plus however many the stores order. It has been a very simple system for years now. How are they messing it up?
And every other industry does this. It's like it should be easy.
I'm gonna rant here too, Tim, because I can't get any of these. I have like I have to go spend $75 on Amazon from people on different continents and hopefully actually get them. Yeah.
The last pre-order went up for, I think it was for the Clone Force 99 stuff that went out. And I remember, and I was like, oh, cool. I was on there like maybe, I don't know, 5 minutes after it went live and half the stuff was sold out. I'm like, it's a pre-order. But I got one of them. I got Tech got delivered to me this week. I was like, ooh. You know, I get the email saying, oh, you have a package from Hasbro. I'm like, oh my God, what did I order? It's been so long.
So the new ones.
Tech came and I.
Yeah, Tech came.
Yep. And I got the.
You were saying before the show that you got Tech that you were going to talk about on the show. I thought like technology, but you mean you actually got.
No,
Tech.
Tech, yeah, the Bad Batch Tech, yeah.
I understand the relevance
and
now.
Hasbro stuff, yeah.
So, yeah, all right.
You know. And then the Luke, Heir to the Empire, special edition with the, is it Yelsimer?
It's Salamiri. Not that I'd know, but yeah, it's the Salamiri.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and actually the Thrawn figure, which I still have in the blister pack, comes with the Salamiri too.
Does it?
I picked that up. You were with me when I bought that, Lou, I think. We picked it up at, a store.
Yep.
2015, Anaheim, Celebration. Yep. We kind of walked off the beaten path and went to get some dinner somewhere, and there was a collectible store nearby, a little mom and pop place. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I did finally find the Finn Black Series character with the bloody handprint on the helmet.
Yeah.
From like the first.
At a Walgreens in Maine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey. you got to do that sometimes. I found my.
Actually, Tim, that was at that comic book shop in Freeport. The one I got in the Walmart was the Moff Gideon.
I got two Cara Dunes in the Target when I was there with you, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got the Beskar Mandalorian in Old Town Winchester, a bunch of like little shops in a downtown pedestrian only section. Mm-hmm. I think I paid $25 or $30 for it. It was like the week it came out. But yeah, I've never gotten a pre-order for anything.
Yeah.
The one collectible, quick tangent, that I regret not getting from, I think it was that celebration that we were just talking about that I almost picked it up. It was one of the Gentle Giant busts of Grand Admiral Thrawn, had a Salamiri over his shoulder, I think, and it was like $60. Mm-hmm. I've never been able to find one after that. And the ones mm-hmm. I've heard of are like 250, 300. And that was years ago. That was before his appearance on Rebels when it was $250 to $300. Now, good luck.
Sure, higher, yeah.
And that's an incredible price for Gentle Giant stuff.
Yeah, there were a lot of them for 60. But that was the one that I was like, yeah, I'm going to get that.
Yeah. And I'll have one other quick side note here to this too, the Hasbro thing. And I do the poll. I buy it on a Hasbro Pulse site and so forth. I had one go up, and I must have missed the email about it because I had a pre-order out there, and one of the figures came up to be able to be shipped, and my card had expired that was on account with them, so it didn't.
That's the worst.
But until I realized, I called them, like, oh, no, I'm sorry, we already canceled it. I'm like, God damn, it's harder to get in these pre-orders to begin with. And I missed one of the Boba Fett ones that was coming out. And I'm like, I updated my card, but it's already gone. I'm like, damn. You know, my fault totally. I mean, I get it.
The funny thing is, like, all this ranting is going to be way longer than the actual list of all the stuff coming out.
Yeah.
And folks, actually, for people who weren't watching a while ago, like during the in the midst of the hardcore rant, especially when Eric then took over, I was just sitting here laughing.
Yeah.
And now I almost feel bad because you guys, like, holy crap, like, you really took the ball and ran with it.
We could do a whole episode on this.
Lou and I figured it's third world problems.
I get it, but it just doesn't make sense that they can't figure this out. They do so much good stuff.
He's going back for seconds.
The HasLab stuff.
He's hitting the banquet table again.
They can't figure this out. So, Tim, read us through the list of stuff that we're not going to be able to get.
All right. So what they have here on the Black Series side, Mandu and Grogu.
Mandu and Grogu.
Mando.
Mandu? Yes.
Mando and Grogu.
Got a Windu on the mind.
Metal Ceremony Leia. Greef Karga. They're doing a Cantina Showdown set, which is going to have Obi-Wan, Dr. Evazan, and Ponda Baba in it. We know what the outcome of that is. We have Queel. The armor,
Moff Gideon with the Darksaber and the Rey Force Effects lightsaber. Mm. And if you guys have not seen this, like, I really, really, really have been strongly considering buying, like, a Rey lightsaber where I can find it. Because, and I've been thinking about this ever since the movie, because that, to me, that was actually practically probably the best part of the movie. I love that lightsaber design. I'm not into lightsabers. I don't own any. But I love hers. And so it's $264.99, which is what they all sell for. But damn, that's real tempting. And that maybe that's going to make it to my Christmas list.
Hmm.
Cool. So
that's on Cantina Showdown set is listed on site, is coming soon on Hezra Pulse, $104.99. They list that as an exclusive for conventions. I'm not sure where it's being released, but it is
first
available.
We have to have a convention.
Well, it will be available.
Hey, New York City Comic Con this weekend.
Yeah. True. I'm still waiting to be able to get tickets for a Celebration. I contacted them. And they said, "Yeah, we'll make an announcement once they're available." Sigh. Mm.
On the vintage sides, these are the 3 3/4 figurines. We've got Bib Fortuna, Lobot, Tebow, Palpatine, IG-11, Lando, the Armor, Shore Trooper, Gideon with a Darksaber, a Flame Trooper, and a Stormtrooper 4-pack. So a lot of times when they release these together, we do see some kind of duplicates in the vintage collection as we do the Black Series, so like the Armor and whatever else came up. But still also, I mean, very different art that they use for these now for the faces. I'm not that much into the vintage collection stuff. I really like the Black Series because they're...
I'm surprised the vintage stuff is now 3 3/4 because they've had vintage Black Series stuff out as well. That was instead of in the box like most Black Series stuff is, it's in a blister pack.
Right.
Yeah. It's the same figure. Same. It's just different packaging.
Yeah.
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 Okay. They heard your complaints about not being able to get the stuff, Lou. So they started making other stuff that you don't want, which you also still can't get.
Well, it's okay. If I don't want it, I don't really care if I can get it or not. Yeah. So.
Well, see, they're making you happier. See, they succeeded.
They did, yeah. They made me smile.
That's so awesome. Thank you, Hasbro. We love you, too.
And after the huge success of Jabba's Sail Barge, which was their first HasLab thing, their second one was the Mando ship.
Razor Crest.
My brain is... Okay, yeah, Razor Crest. I don't know that one did so well because, of course, the funny thing is that was announced after they blew the ship up on the show, and everyone's like, why bother?
Because it's still an awesome ship. He just has to rebuild it. The pieces are still there, Lou.
You're not rebuilding that ship.
The pieces are still there.
not even Lego. Could help,
what they didn't tell you is they're just going to ship you a box of parts.
Yeah.
Too soon.
So they did announce that they are launching a new HasLab campaign sometime later this fall. So presumably in the next...
There's another non-Star Wars HasLab stuff too, by the way.
Oh, yes. No, I was just talking about the Star Wars ones here. But from HasLab, HeroQuest, which is a board game that I loved, and they did like one print run of it, and now you can only buy them like partially there for $700. They re-released. They did a HasLab for HeroQuest because so many people through the years have been asking for it.
Oh, and I remember seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's expected to be getting that one in shipped to me by the end of November.
Nice.
And we met like a bunch of the stretch goals on it, and then on top of that, they actually ended up giving a couple of the stretch goals we didn't meet anyway.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
Like there was a story that they, you know, this author is going to write this adventure for it. And cool. We I think that was like the next stretch goal for us, and we didn't make it within the time period. I'm assuming they just commissioned the guy anyway and said, you know, hey, we're just going to give it to you. So it's yeah, I'm excited to get it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Tech in the chat room says that he's getting the Razor Crest as well. Seems they have been received in Hasbro's warehouse. So apparently that did go through.
Cool. Yeah, the upcoming HasLab ad, at least on their website, shows a campaign launching in the fall of 2021. It shows a big Rancor. Yeah, as a screenshot from the movie or something. So not like, you know, I don't know what it's going to be.
A giant Rancor.
I'm imagining a Rancor, but, you know.
To I'll scale. Tell you, if they did, I would love to see a almost like a, you know, playset size thing of Jabba's Palace. Which would be an interesting thing to do, considering that a lot of it is underground.
Yeah.
So, like, that would be an interesting thing to kind of build. But I don't know that people are necessarily going to get a HasLab playset thing. I think they want, like, one.
Yeah, I think they're interested
a thing,
in
a ship, a vehicles. Person. A, you
well,
know,
I mean,
whatever.
Like, the sail barge was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's a big, I mean, that's a playset itself, even though it's just a
pretty much,
a ship.
Right. Yeah.
But it's,
I mean, to that scale to have the palace, we're talking, you know, put a couple of coffee tables together and then see what of it you're able to fit onto the two coffee tables.
Hey, honey, I'm pretty much in the middle of the living room. What do you think?
Hey, honey, we're building an expansion to the house.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's
the Rancor I expect is probably just like a placeholder.
It like, could
I don't
be.
Think that's,
it could be. Yeah.
Yeah, we could get lucky. We could see a Jabba's Palace or something. Maybe from Return of the Jedi. Who knows? We will see. Until then, though, we are going to wrap up this episode of Force Chatter. So we would like it if you would head over to YouTube. Go to youtube.com/randomchatter and hit the like and subscribe buttons. Also consider hitting the notification button so you'll know when we go live. And you as well can come join us in the chat room and talk about all of the things you can't get from Hasbro and the other things that we talk about in the chat room. So, what else? Go to randomchatter.com/store to pick up a Force Chatter t-shirt, Random Chatter, Guardians of the MCU. And it doesn't have to be a t-shirt either. It can be a hoodie. It can be a sweatshirt now that it's starting to cool off a little bit outside. I know. Oh,
we're in the hoodie.
There we
right
go,
here.
Right there. Nice. A lot of our listeners have been picking up the t-shirts, but you know, winter's coming. I know, wrong franchise, but still, hoodies, sweatshirts, it might be a good time for it. So you can pick those up, randomchatter.com/store. And join us in Discord. Go to randomchatter.com/Discord and join us on the Escape Hatch Discord server. We would love to hang out with you there as well. So that's going to do it for this episode of Force Chatter. We will see you again in about a week next Sunday night. Until then.